You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Wednesday the 20th of April 2022, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. If you would like to help with the defence at my trial, which is coming up later in the year, and if you're able to provide a testimonial about why you listen to Radio Albion, then please write to stormersubs@hushmail.com. And I need to have a name and a contact number so that my solicitor can contact you and format your testimonial into a form that is acceptable to the court. So if you don't mind giving your name to my solicitor so that it can be proved that it's not an anonymous testimonial, then please write to stormersubs@hushmail.com. And a big thank you to those of you who have already written to me. Well, getting into the news today, I want to talk a little bit about the government's plan, the British government's plan to put asylum seekers in Rwanda. And basically, they're not talking about putting all asylum seekers there. They're talking about the ones that break into the country. So anyone that has come into the country unlawfully will be removed to Rwanda while their asylum claims are processed. And currently, people that break into the country are being put up in hotels at a cost of millions of pounds, and the numbers are doubling every year. It's increasing exponentially. It's been going on for the last two or three years, maybe longer than that. We've had two Home Secretaries, I think, since this first began. And this is the solution that we've been talking about here at Radio Albion for years. It's the same solution that Australia found was eminently workable. As soon as they started putting the illegal asylum seekers in Papua New Guinea, in a camp in Papua New Guinea, then they stopped trying to break into Australia. And it's hoped that the same thing will happen here if they put these asylum seekers in Rwanda. And don't forget, they are fake asylum seekers because they're coming in from France and there is no war in France. And if you're an asylum seeker, you should go to the first safe country. The fact that they're coming all the way to Britain just shows that they're not interested in going to the first safe country. That's not their primary aim. Their primary aim is to come to Britain. And of course, there are various reasons for that. Could be because they speak English, could be because they have family that are in Britain already, or it could just be because they know that they're going to get the higher wages and better welfare when they're in Britain. Northern Europe has the highest wages, highest standard of living in Europe, which is why it is such a magnet for people from Africa and from the Middle East. So it's hoped that this will solve the problem, and it will prevent the people smugglers from putting these people on not seaworthy boats and just sending them across the channel. And of course, the British government have actually been helping this and facilitating it via the RNLI and the Border Force and the Coast Guard. And the French authorities have been radioing the RNLI and saying, well, we've got this boat and it's just crossed into British waters. And the RNLI go out there and they pick them up and they ferry them into Britain and they get put up in a hotel. And of course, this is annoyed the British people, to put it lightly, and they want something done about this. So this is the solution that they finally put forward years later, is to offshore this processing to Rwanda. And predictably, there's been lots of screeching about this on the left and also from the church. Archbishop Justin Welby, the de facto head of the Church of England, has used his Easter message to attack British government plans to transfer some male boat migrants to Rwanda while their asylum claims are processed, claiming that the policy is the opposite of the nature of God. So first off here, they're not talking about removing everybody that turns up in these boats. They're only talking about the male ones. They've said that they're not going to deport the unaccompanied migrant children that turn up. And of course, we know that anybody who looks under the age of 25 is classed as an unaccompanied child. So it will only be the ones that do appear to be adults that will be going there. And also this claim that Justin Welby makes that it's the opposite of the nature of God. Why is it the opposite of the nature of God? God created the nations. It tells us that in the Bible. It tells us that he created the boundaries between them. There are supposed to be boundaries between the nations. We're not supposed to all be mixing together. The Israelites were told not to give their daughters and their sons to the sons and daughters of a strange god, effectively telling them that they were not to intermarry with other tribes, other peoples. They were told to be welcoming to their own kind. They were told to be welcoming to their neighbour, and they were told that their neighbour is the children of their own people, basically, the people of their own race. And they were also told that if they broke the commandments of God, then these other peoples would then come into their country and take over. And that is essentially what happened to Israel and Judah. Their countries got taken over by the Babylonians and by the Assyrians because they went against God's laws. And it seems that Justin Welby here doesn't understand this. He doesn't understand that the nations are supposed to be kept secret. He's in fact ignoring what it tells us in the Bible, because he is completely politically motivated. I can remember when he was first made into the Archbishop and he gave a sermon, and the sermon was all about something from the UN. It was about the UN Human Rights Act or some part of the Human Rights Act. And I can remember thinking back then, well, why is he not preaching from the Bible? Why is he preaching from this secular authority? And that's because the church is completely co-opted by these secular authorities. In a highly political sermon preached at the service of Holy Communion at Canterbury Cathedral and broadcast on BBC Radio 4 on Sunday morning, the woke archbishop loosely linked the resurrection of Jesus Christ to a number of contemporary political issues he is interested in, including the conflict in Ukraine, the rising cost of power, fuel and basic food, and of course, immigration. And what does that have to do with Easter? Of course, it doesn't have anything to do with Easter. Yes, we are supposed to be charitable, but we're particularly supposed to be charitable to our own people. We are told to cast our bread upon the waters so that it comes back to us. If you cast your bread upon somebody else's waters, it's not going to come back to you, is it? It's just going to be your wealth being siphoned off from you into another people group. And when you look at what the Bible says, it's all very, very sensible. And it just gets taken out of context and misused today, particularly by people like Justin Welby. I mean, what is he doing getting involved in the conflict in Ukraine? I mean, what have we got there? Well, we've got Russia, which is an Orthodox country that puts Orthodox Christianity at the head of everything. I mean, they even built a mosque, a huge great mosque in Moscow, and they called it the Cathedral Mosque. They put the Christian word cathedral before the word mosque to show which was more important in Russia. Christianity is very important there. And you would think that because Russia is a Christian country, that Welby would just keep out of this. But of course he's not going to, because he is politically motivated. As it says here, it's a highly political sermon that he preached. It wasn't based upon the redemptive power of Jesus Christ's resurrection and the good news of eternal life. It was all about his pet political wishes. He said, "This season is also why there are such serious ethical questions about sending asylum seekers overseas. referring to the Boris Johnson administration's plans to finally do something about the ever-worsening boat migrant crisis by striking a deal with Rwanda, a safe third country, to host some male asylum seekers while their asylum claims, that are often bogus, are processed. So what are the ethical questions about this? I mean, what you want to be doing is the best for the British people, and you want to be doing what's best for the asylum seekers. Now, clearly what's best for the British people is to not encourage this. And clearly what's best for the asylum seekers is to find some way where they get their asylum, and yet at the same time, they don't cause problems for us here in Britain. The sort of problems that they cause over here in Britain is the financial burden, also the increase on the roads, the increase on the hospital waiting lists, the increase in the classroom sizes at the schools. So you want to find an equitable solution to this problem, and you also want to deter the asylum seekers from trying to take this risky journey across the channel. And that is what most concerns the politicians, is the numbers of them that end up dying. So if you can deter them from actually coming over to Britain, if you can say to them, well, if you come to Britain, you're just going to be put in a holding centre in Rwanda, where you will be safe from war, you will be safe from being bombed, you will be safe from political persecution in your own country, but you won't actually be able to get into Britain, then that's likely to prevent them from coming over in these boats. So it's going to prevent them from drowning. So it's best for everybody to have this solution. Yet, according to the Archbishop of Canterbury, there are serious ethical questions about it. Well, surely the ethical question should be, is it good for the asylum seekers? And does it solve their immediate problems? And it does. If they're asylum seekers, they are looking for sanctuary from war or sanctuary from political persecution. And this will provide them with that sanctuary. If they are just looking to improve their life chances, well, it's not going to do that, is it? But that's not what asylum seeking is supposed to be about. It's not supposed to be about getting a better job or getting a higher wage. It's supposed to be about getting sanctuary from war or political persecution. So it solves these problems. But the Archbishop of Canterbury doesn't want to look at it like that, because he is committed to these progressive ideologies of importing as much diversity as possible into white countries and blending them out, basically, which is completely against God's plan. I mean, why would God bother to create the separate nations and the separate races if what he really wanted was them all to interbreed together and become an indeterminate mass with no identity or heritage? Quite clearly, that is satanic to want to do that, because it goes completely against the natural order, and the natural order was created by God. When we observe the natural order, that's how, where we come to the conclusion that there has to be a creator behind it. I mean, that's the whole point of the natural order. And Welby says the details are for politics and politicians. Well, why is he getting involved then? He says the principle must stand the judgment of God, and it cannot, declared Welby, who himself has a direct role in lawmaking as a member of the House of Lords. I mean, who is he to claim that he knows what the judgment of God is on this? I mean, if we look at the Bible, as I said, God created the nations. He created their times and their boundaries. He created them to be separate. He instructed the Israelites not to marry peoples from other tribes, because he wanted the peoples to remain separate. He wanted his handiwork to remain as it was. And I would suggest that quite clearly it is satanic to destroy that handiwork, which is what you do by mixing all the peoples together. And it tells us also in the Bible that a lawful marriage is with bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh, which is effectively saying a lawful marriage is only when the marriage is between members of the same race. And yet by encouraging diversity, by encouraging multiculturalism, you are actually encouraging people to intermarry with members of other races, which, of course, ends up creating people that don't have the same race as their parents and their ancestors. They no longer have the design that God actually gave them in the first place. So it goes completely against God. But of course, Welby doesn't think about it like that. It cannot carry the weight of resurrection justice, of life conquering death. It cannot carry the weight of the resurrection that was first to the least valued, for it privileges the rich and the strong, he went on, without offering a clear explanation as to how paying Rwanda to host people who illegally enter British territory from France, a safe European Union member state, is an exercise of privilege. Of course, this is the other side of it. I mean, this is going to be a benefit to Rwanda, isn't it? I mean, if Rwanda are being paid millions of pounds to do this, that's going to enable Rwanda to improve the living standards of the Rwandan people. I mean, this is a benefit all round. It benefits the British people because we don't have to pay out this bill to put them, these fake asylum seekers, up in hotels. And they are fake asylum seekers because there's no war in France. It helps the asylum seekers because they get their asylum. There is no war in Rwanda. They will be under British law. They will be given health care, so they will be safe, which is what they're claiming they want, is to be safe. And it's also going to improve the standards in Rwanda because they're going to have these funds that are being given to them by Britain. So I would say that God's going to judge that as being pretty good. That's the solution that we should be looking for. The Anglican leader went on to assert that the Rwanda scheme cannot carry the weight of our national responsibility as a country formed by Christian values, because subcontracting out our responsibilities, even to a country that seeks to do well like Rwanda, is the opposite of the nature of God, who himself took responsibility for our failures. Again, he did this without explaining why the British people must be responsible for migrants illegally entering British territory via France, usually after having already passed through multiple other safe countries first. And that's just it. Why should it be our national responsibility? It's not our national responsibility. Our national responsibility is to our own nationals. It's not to the nationals of other countries. Your responsibility is basically for your family, isn't it? Your responsibility is for your wife and for your children. They are your responsibility. The children of another family are not your responsibility. Obviously, you're not going to be against them. You're not going to wish any harm on them, but they're not going to be your responsibility. And why should we be responsible for the excess population of Africa that wants to come into Britain? Yes, we can make sure that they're not harmed when they're trying to actually get into Britain, but the fact is they've come into Britain unlawfully. They shouldn't be here, and we have this ability to put them in Rwanda, where they will be kept safe and sound. It's not like this is going to be harming them in any way. It will be keeping them safe. I don't see how this is going against our national responsibility in any way whatsoever. Our national responsibility is to our own nationals, which means we should be putting them first. We should be putting the indigenous British people first, rather than the people that are trying to break into the country. It's rather like saying that our responsibility is to look after the burglar that's trying to break into the house, rather than the safety of the children in the house. I mean, that's what's going on here. I do find that it helps to look at people that are trying to break into a country as if it was people that were trying to break into your house, because it is essentially the same thing. Archbishop Welby is no stranger to exploiting his role as Anglicanism's most senior cleric as a platform to lobby for woke political causes, having also used his most recent Christmas message to lecture people on the supposed need to welcome boat migrants. And of course, at Christmas time, they always like to go on about the fact that Jesus went as a refugee to Egypt. And they forget the fact that Jesus and the Egyptians were all white. They're all part of the same race. Jesus was descended from Shem, and the Egyptians were descended from Ham. They were three brothers, so they were essentially the same race, and Egypt was a part of the Roman Empire back then, the same as Judea was a part of the Roman Empire. It was essentially the equivalent of somebody of German ethnicity coming into Britain and asking the British people to help him out. It wasn't the equivalent of somebody coming from the other side of the world with a completely different ethnicity from a completely different race and expecting to be looked after by the people there. And charity begins at home. You have to look after your own people first, and once you've looked after your own people, then you can look at helping others. And we have our priorities back to front here. Welby has also praised the European Union as the greatest dream realised for human beings since the fall of the Western Roman Empire. And that really gives us an idea of what his politics are. What is so great about the European Union? What has it done? It has usurped sovereignty from countries. It's put an unelected group of people in charge of the governments of Europe. And what is the difference in that to having unelected kings ruling in countries? At least unelected kings knew that they were going to be kings and that they owned everything, and they looked out for their subjects because they knew they owned the subjects. The people that are in charge of the European Union are there for 6 or 8 years, and they're just in it for themselves, aren't they? They're not in it for their loyalty to the other countries in Europe. It's a far worse system than monarchy. And he thinks it's the greatest dream realized since the fall of the Western Roman Empire. So, I mean, what is he really saying there? Does he think that it was a great dream to have the fall of the Western Roman Empire? Was the Roman Empire really that good? Not towards the end of it, I don't think. He has also announced a Black Lives Matter inspired review to purge churches of supposedly offensive historic statues and memorials. Who is he to say that what statues and memorials should be removed? I mean, the people that put them there years ago, clearly they put them there because they thought highly of the people that they wanted to commemorate. It's an insult to them. It's an insult to all our ancestors, all our church-going ancestors, to remove statues and memorials that they put up. I mean, they put them up because they wanted us to remember these people for some particular reason. He has also implied that the unvaccinated do not love one another, as Jesus said. I mean, that's just incredible, isn't it? I mean, just how cheap does this man get, trying to use the Bible to tell people that they have to have a medical procedure, force them into taking a medical procedure that people may not want for very good reasons. He is also a keen virtue signaller, condemning his church's supposed lack of ethnic minority leaders and condemning himself for his own white advantage and straight advantage, but stopping short of actually stepping aside for a gay minority cleric, which would cost him his public position and his palace home. Well, hang on a minute. Does the church really have a lack of ethnic minority leaders? I think the biggest group within the Anglican Church are the black African churches. There's loads of black African churches and loads of black African churchmen in Africa, but obviously in Britain, most of the church leaders are white. And why should that be a terrible thing? Why should that be an advantage? I mean, it's basically the advantage that you have of having actually built the church yourself, aren't you? I mean, it's white British people that built the church. It's called the Church of England. So, of course, the white British people in England are going to have an advantage within that church. But, I mean, that's the reason why they made it. That's why it's called the Church of England. And obviously in Africa, you have these black African leaders. You don't have white leaders over there. He doesn't seem to understand that. He thinks that this is a terrible thing, that white people lead the church in Britain, and straight people as well. Again, he ignores what the Bible has to say about homosexuality. And really, these black church leaders, I mean, they put Britain to shame. They're prepared to leave the Anglican Church because they're so disgusted at what Welby is promoting with these blessings for homosexual relationships and encouraging of transgenderism. And these black African churches stick more to biblical instruction than do the Western churches now. I mean, it's a great scandal. The Church of England's lay members, who perhaps not coincidentally are rapidly depleting, do not appear to share their top cleric's left liberal politics, however, with the great majority being Brexit supporters and an overwhelming 87.6% wanting to see immigration reduced. So he does not appear to be in tune with his congregation. And in actual fact, he if you really wanted to destroy the church and lose as many members of the church as you could, this is the way that you would go about it, isn't it? I mean, he doesn't appear to be looking at these rapidly depleting numbers and thinking, well, what am I doing wrong? Perhaps I should go back to tradition and promoting Christianity instead of promoting the European Union and the UN. So, you could look at this and say, well, perhaps that is what he's trying to do. He's trying to destroy the church. He's trying to deplete the numbers of the church, because that's the result of what he's been doing. Well, if we actually look at this plan to take the fake asylum seekers and put them in Rwanda, voters are overwhelmingly backing it. Voters back Boris Johnson's plan to send asylum seekers to Rwanda by 2-1, a poll revealed last night. The survey for the Daily Mail found that even Labour voters are more likely to support it than oppose it, potentially causing problems for party leader Sir Keir Starmer. It comes after the Prime Minister vowed to face down left-wing lawyers who try to thwart the move. Organisations such as Amnesty International have been highly critical of the plan, saying that Rwanda has a dismal human rights record. Yes, but this would be managed by Britain. They would have to keep to British laws and British guidelines. I mean, it would effectively be British land that this holding centre was put upon, and they would have to keep to British law there. So it doesn't really matter what human rights record Rwanda has, because this is going to be separate to it. Yesterday, Gillian Triggs, the Assistant High Commissioner at the UN Refugee Agency, said the scheme was unacceptable and a breach of international law. But Mr. Johnson insisted on Thursday that the African nation was one of the safest countries on the planet, as Home Secretary Priti Patel signed a historic deal with Rwandan officials. And, I mean, really, what does it have to do with the United Nations? What does it have to do with international law? These people are trying to break into our country, and we obviously have to put our people here first. They're claiming that they want asylum, they want sanctuary from bombs and political persecution, and that's what they're being provided with. They're just being provided it in Rwanda instead of in Britain, which is probably a lot closer to the countries that they actually come from. If you think a lot of them come from Africa, a lot of them come from the Middle East, Rwanda is going to be much closer to their country of origin and their families, basically, rather than Britain. Yesterday, around 160 migrants arrived in the UK by small boat, with one group of about 50 people brought into Dover by Border Force officials. And of course, they will then be put up in a hotel at a massive cost. The poll of more than 1,000 adults carried out by Savanta for the Mail found that while 47% of all voters say they support the idea, just 26% are against it, and the rest say that they do not know or have no opinion. Among those who voted Labour at the last election, 39% say they support the move, compared with 36% who do not. And the survey also revealed that most believe the plan will be effective at deterring economic migrants. However, many have concerns over the initial £120 million cost, with only 39% saying that they think it represents value for money. And that is a concern, that it's costing £120 million, but didn't we give France £100 million to try and put a stop to this? And it completely failed. Didn't we give Turkey billions of euros to try and put a stop to this? And it completely failed. And yet this move here, which is what Australia did, that Australia has already shown that it proves to work. Talking about the plans, Priti Patel said she expected other countries to follow the UK's example, while the Home Office insisted its approach was not in breach of refugee agreements. It would be nice if she actually said that they got the idea from Australia, though, rather than trying to pretend that it's her own brainwave to do this. Ms. Patel said Denmark could be among those to reproduce the UK government's blueprint. There is no question now that the model we have put forward, I'm convinced, is world class and a world first, and it will be used as a blueprint going forward. There is no doubt about that, Ms. Patel said. I would not be surprised if other countries start coming to us directly on the back of this as well. And the Home Secretary said Copenhagen was in talks with Rwanda, adding that the Council of Europe have also basically said they are interested in working with us. So we will have to wait and see whether this plan actually comes to fruition, whether it is exactly as they say, and it will be all the male migrants that get sent over there. And it's just a shame that they didn't come out with this years ago. I mean, it is the most obvious solution to the problem, and I am thankful that they are now actually doing it. So, yeah, good on the British government if they do actually do this. Well, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.